Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parenting Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you're listening to Parenting Hell with...
Ezra, can you say Rob Beckett?
Rob Beckett.
And can you say Josh Widdicombe?
Josh Widdicombe.
say a bit louder.
Josh Widdicombe.
Well done.
Very strong. Very strong.
Oh, that was great. Surrey, are they from Surrey?
They are. Doesn't say. Do include where you're from so Rob can guess.
That was very confident and loud. I like that. That was one of the best.
I've been a listener to your podcast from the beginning of lockdown while looking after my now 3.5-year-old, very energetic little boy, Ezra, who was so excited to say your names that he then continued to shout them around the house for the next hour. That screamy devil child in the background is Amelie, 5.5 months. Ooh. Your podcasts are keeping me sane in our 2 to 3 hourly night feeds.
Oh, my God, what are they having, a buffet?
She still insists on, so huge thanks for the laughs. Love what you're doing. Thanks for making the feeds bearable.
I am catapulting into being classic dad, and it's happening so fast. I can't it's ridiculous. I'm even giving up on clothes. I just wear whatever's nearest. It's awful. I look terrible.
My sneezes are getting louder, which is a real sign I'm becoming a dad.
What about your ears?
My ears, furry. Oh. How are you doing in terms of trimming hair around your head, Rob? Let me take you through the areas and tell me whether you need to trim it.
Okay, go on.
Ears.
No, sometimes a random long one.
I've got furry earlobes that I have to trim.
No, I don't trim my ears at all. I get the occasional long one. Same with nose, occasional long
one. Nose, I have to go big on my nose.
You're right, little hobbit boy, aren't you?
Yeah, my eyebrows.
Yeah.
It's like a fucking full-time job, Rob, keeping them in check.
Like Noel Gallagher.
Yeah, they're insane. I'm trimming my eyebrows about once a week.
You are going to look...
I'm a maid in Chelsea going for a weekly haircut.
I cannot wait to see you at 80. You're going to be such a funny little old man. Your big old eyebrows, hairy ears, shuffling about. Coughing, sneezing, trying to get to your car. Scratching your head, working out how to put petrol in it. You'll have a bath with a door on it.
I wouldn't say no now, Rob. Wouldn't say no now.
I think you know some people like going, oh, I'm a bit like belligerent, like, I'm not going to be old, I keep doing that, I'm going to go to like nightclubs with my son. You're going to be like, yeah, give me the pipe and slippers.
Mate, I'm ready. I'm already going. I don't want any part of youth culture, thank you very much.
I don't like going out anymore. My house is too nice to leave.
Yeah, I don't want to go out. That's what I found out in lockdown. Going out is shit.
It makes me stressed and sad.
Yeah,
everything's better indoors.
Look, mate, is it better? Oh, are you watching? Have you watched this? I'm watching a documentary on Netflix, or Amazon, sorry, about the Chippendales and a murder at the top of the Chippendales in the 80s. And if you can tell me a pub that's better than that, I will be very surprised.
Magic Mike. I like Magic Mike as a night out if you're into that Chippendales, but less murder.
I'm not into it for the Chippendales element of it. Not that there'd be anything wrong with that. It's a really fun documentary. Well, not fun, that's the wrong word.
And if you get to see a couple of hot bods,
Rob? It looks like you'll look when you're 40.
Yeah,
I keep thinking, bloody hell, it's going to be mad when Rob Beckett looks like this.
They're going to have to rename Magic Michael Beckett at 40. That's what they're going to do. Talking of old being old and older parents, we've got a great boomer parent Instagram message here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're doing Instagrams today. Let's do them.
Let's do Instagrams. This is boomer parents talking about things that your boomer parents did that is totally unacceptable now. Yeah. Boomer parent. I like this. This is going to be a great feature, this. I've been a listener to the podcast since the start and I love it so much. It makes me laugh out loud every episode. This is my boomer parent story. I was about 7 or 8 years old, born in 83, so about 1990. I love the way they set this scene. This is great.
Yeah, that's the year I was born.
I'd been asking for a rabbit for months and months. Around comes my birthday and my dad, who I can add is the most lovely, placid man ever, said to me, "Come on, I'm taking you to get a rabbit." I was so excited. It's all I had ever wanted. So off we go to get a rabbit. We go to the local market and my mum starts asking, "Where are we going to get a rabbit here?" We take a turn. And we are stood in front of a butcher who has a row of dead rabbits in front of him.
Oh, my God.
With looking like a rabbit with fur on, head, legs, ears, the lot. My dad proceeds to order a rabbit and make me watch it be skinned and shot.
Oh, my God.
To take it home to make a stew. I was distraught. My mum went mental. I've never eaten rabbit and, and I'm still traumatised by it.
That is insane.
Why are
boomer parents so psychopathic? I'm worried about, you know, whether she wears an Elsa dress. Do you know what I mean? And it's what impact that's going
to
have.
Well, we remind my dad of this quite often. He tries to make out it wasn't as dramatic as we all claim. However, me and my mum remember it the exact same way.
Wasn't as dramatic as we all claim.
From Joe. That is remarkable. And the thing is, that isn't even out of the ordinary. That's what all good parents did.
Yeah.
Let's not get down what the bad parents are doing. That was a good boomer parent.
Can I just say, I haven't got an issue with her wearing an Elsa dress. My main issue is that she's got four of them and it's all she wants to wear.
Fair enough.
Like I had an issue with people wearing Elsa dresses. I just wanted to be clear on that.
Okay, hi Rob and Josh. This is listening to Josh's daughter's trip to the Tate Modern and it reminded me of the time I took my then 2-year-old to the National Gallery. Obviously it was something I wanted to do and I was hoping that he'd fall asleep in his pushchair as we wandered about.
Yeah. Oh, good luck.
Instead, I ended up legging it out of there at full speed as my son began to joyfully shout, "Boobies! Boobies! Boobies!" at many, many nude paint. Yeah, there are so many dicks and tits in that gallery. That is Lisa with her booby shouting
great.
Son.
That is
boobies!
Brilliant.
And that's like funny for a bit, but in those places, it's so quiet, everyone will listen, won't they?
Yeah, yeah. My wife took her to another gallery, but it went a bit better yesterday because there was more colourful pictures. Basically, let's be honest, she's not appreciating art.
No, just take her Piccadilly Circus if she likes bright things.
She just likes bright colours.
They love lights, just love lights. Advice for Josh here. Advice for Josh.
Yeah.
Dream feed Josh. I don't think this means you need to dream.
Tried it.
This is because your son, he's getting better, but he's waking up at 5 o'clock now, not 4:30.
He's fine now. I'm living the dream.
Yeah, okay. Keep telling yourself that. Dream feed saved me and my partner. Yeah, they're all sleeping.
You
sneak in at about 11 p.m. and they should sleep till 7-ish.
No, hunger. It's just his body clock.
It's not hunger, Sam. It's not hunger.
It's a hunger to be awake, I tell you that. But sadly, thank you for the advice. Thank you. I don't mean to be so dismissive, but fucking tried it, mate. Don't think that it's not my first rodeo.
I've got another one for you.
Toot toot moot,
this is. Drop a nap, Josh. Have you tried it?
Yeah.
At 6 months, I dropped all naps.
Let toot toot moot finish.
At 6 months, I dropped all naps apart from one if they needed it. And I got 7-7.
The holy grail.
How many naps is he on at the moment?
He's pretty all over the shop, if I'm honest with you, Rob.
You got to control that, mate.
But when he naps well, makes no difference. When he naps badly, makes no difference. From what I can tell, whatever happens in the day makes absolutely no difference.
Okay, right, fair enough. But that's just some advice, mate, if you wanted to take it.
Thank you. Thank you for your advice, everyone.
Right, here's a good one, Josh. This could be advice for everyone. Hi, Rob and Josh. Just wanted to share a quick parenting trick that I've invented. My nearly 2.5-year-old has started... Just say 2.5. We don't. Yeah. By the time we read this out, it'll probably be about 4. I just wanted to share a quick parenting trick that I invented. My nearly 2.5-year-old had started being really slow when I asked her to do things like put on her coat or go for a bath, get in the car, etc., etc. I've started to say, "Shall I put the song on?" She says yes excitedly, and I proceed to play as loud as I can the Benny Hill TV theme.
Oh,
That's the one. I don't know why, but it works a charm every time. She seems to spring into life and does why I ask no problem. Unfortunately, though, she does dress in a bikini and chase old men. And I'm joking, I've added that. It's also really funny to watch. Looking forward to our Spotify roundup at the end of the year, and the recommended list is going to offer up after this one. Love the podcast. Please never stop. Oh, yeah. They just think you love Benny Hill.
Yeah. How about this? How about More Tired Than Josh?
Oh, yes, please.
Hi, Rob and Josh. Really enjoying the tiredness stories. I thought I'd share mine. It happened in the weeks after the birth of our first child, Matty. The stage when they're waking up every 3 hours for feeding and burping day and night, and your life revolves around that relentless cycle. One night, I realised I'd fallen asleep while feeding him and forgotten to burp him. I sat bolt upright, grabbed him off my lap, and in the pitch dark started trying to burp him. It wasn't working, and I realised it did feel a bit awkward, so I thought, in my rushed and tired state, I might have faced him the wrong way. I turned him around, but it was even more awkward. At a loss, I put him back down and turned the light on to see what on earth was going on. It took me a few seconds to process that Matty had vanished, but standing on the bed next to me, looking wide-eyed, dishevelled and confused, was our cat. She must have been sleeping on my lap and got the fright of her life.
Did she burp?
I've never heard a cat burp. Have you ever heard a cat burp? You know what the email address is.
If anyone's got a cat that burps, record it and we'll put it on.
Yeah, why not? And we'll know if you're cheating and it's you. That's Ben from West Moseley.
Oh, thanks, Ben from West Moseley. Right, we've got... this one's a bit serious but funny, but we'll read it out. It's a nice one. Hi, guys. I'm listening to Series 3, Episode 25, and you mentioned kids learning about death. Well, I lost my mum to COVID in January. Very sorry to hear that. Mick in Chelmsford, Essex. Obviously, an extremely hard time, and this is also my children's first experience with death. So even though I was going through a lot, I wanted to try and handle it in the right way with them. I told them that though their nan was now gone, she wasn't truly gone, and that she will always be with us, watching over us and keeping us safe. I told my youngest daughter, Penelope, age 5, that we can still talk to her like she is here and that she will hear us. So every now and then, Penny would say something out loud to her or look at the clouds and wave a toy in the air for her to see. I think that's quite nice, isn't it? Nice thing to do. Then one day, as I'm bathing her, I walk out of the room to grab her towel and she starts shouting, "Stop looking at me naked, Nanny! Stop looking at me naked! This is my body and you shouldn't look at it!" Side note, it was summer and the windows were open with the neighbours in their garden. Funny, but not the best thing for them to hear. Especially as we only just moved in about 4 months beforehand and they didn't know that my mum had passed away.
Oh my God.
Love the podcast. Thanks for the laughter in a really crap time. Love, Mick from Chelmsford, Essex.
Thanks, mate. Thank you
very much.
That is a lovely way to go into Ugo Monier.
It's a good episode, actually, of Ugo. He's a top bloke.
Yeah, really great guy. Really enjoyed it.
Rugby. We should do the intro here, really, because don't really give him one on the show. Ex-rugby legend. Very fast at running as well, which we discuss on the pod.
And he's becoming... quite a he's on Question of Sport and he was on Strictly. He
is TV personality.
He is transcended rugby, and by that I mean I've heard of him and I don't like rugby.
Yeah, I know. He's got good banter as well for rugby crowd, because normally their banter is weak.
Yeah, if you're worried we've said rugby, don't turn off. It's better than you think it's gonna be.
Trust us. He's more of the crouch end of things.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Here's Ugo Monier.
Life is a highway,
and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Okay, right. Josh, do you want to do the intro?
Why not? I mean, intro is a big word. Ugo Monier, hello, how are you?
Really good, thank you. How are you, lads?
Good. We should keep in the bit where Rob says, "Josh, do you want to do the intro?" Like, I'm going to give you a huge kind of... you may recognise him from... but we've done all that bit beforehand.
Rugby legend, Question of Sport, Strictly, all that. But we've already done that, so they know that. But it just feels a bit underwhelming when we go, "All right, Ugo, how's it going?"
No, I prefer it. Otherwise, it's embarrassing. And actually, it's like, people know you from... and they're like, "No, they don't. They actually don't care. They're wondering why I'm on this podcast. They're like, oh, right, okay. They're on this podcast whilst Googling me. Do you know what I mean?" And they're like, okay, it's not Chris Akabusi. It's not John Fashanu. Who's the other one? No, I don't know. I don't know this lad. I don't know him. He sounds like he should be working in fashion. Did someone forget to add the H to the Hugo? I don't get who this fella is.
Have you got a number for John Fashanu while you're there?
Have you ever met John Fashanu out of interest?
I met him a few years ago. He's quite intense. He's quite a serious person. Yeah. I mean, I don't know him intimately or personally, but I met him at an event. And
intimate? I'm not suggesting you slept with him, Hugo Monya. I met him on Soccer AM, and he just kept on talking about how massive his house was. And he kept on, I think he's got a house in Nigeria or somewhere.
I'm not sure.
And he was going, guess how many toilets I've got? Guess how many toilets I was? I was like, I don't know, like six? He went, 18.
18?
He's got 18 toilets. He's got a massive house.
How bad's his diet? What's going on there?
I love how having numerous amounts of toilets is the barometer of success. Like, it's not bedrooms. Over here we take bedrooms, but toilets, apparently. He's only got three bedrooms, but 18 toilets.
Yeah. Hugo, can you give us a rundown? What's your setup, kids-wise? How many kids you got? What's going on?
So I've got two kids, two girls, a proper girl dad. I've got my eldest daughter's Phoenix. She's 4.5 and just started at big girl school. And I've got Ruby, who's 1.5. And they're awesome. They're troublesome, but they're absolutely amazing as well.
You did you did a dance for them on Strictly. You did a Moana dance, didn't you? Because you thought that would go down well with them, from what I could tell.
Yeah, obviously, just trying to get that. Do you know what I mean? Just pulling people's heartstrings, because that's what's really important.
Getting to the next week, because there is a bonus for Blackpool, isn't there? That's what people don't talk about. You get a bonus to go Blackpool. These celebs don't just want to dance in Blackpool. They want the extra bunts for staying in, isn't it, Hugo?
Everyone's gagging to get to Blackpool. I'm like, I've never been to Blackpool in my life, and all of a sudden there's a bonus, and I'm like, I need to get to Blackpool. But what was hilarious, so the dance I did was Moana. Played Maui in it, and I spoke to their producers and everything, and I was like, do you know what? It's Phoenix's favourite dance. She loves it. And I've got so many good memories of like early mornings and late nights, just watching of her in my lap. So she came to the dance studio one afternoon. They captured a little bit of like me with her. And I was like, oh, Phoenix, guess what song Daddy's danced to this week? And we had a couple of clues. And she went, oh, is it Moana? I was like, yeah. I was like, because Phoenix, that's your favourite film. She's like, used to be. I was like, oh, yeah. Okay, we'll have to cut this. Phoenix, I'm going to ask this question, and you need to be overly excited. Okay, so, and then she gave the right answer in inverted commas. And then, so we could use some of the audio from it, I had to say, oh, The Rock's a great singer, and what a great actor. So I had to say that line, oh, what a wonderful performer The Rock is. And Phoenix went, I don't like him. So, yeah, to say that I danced the dance for my daughters, I did. That was the intention. But the reality is I just wanted to get to Blackpool.
Yeah. And I'm sorry you didn't get to Blackpool.
People ask you a lot, are you going to carry on dancing? Like, I don't know. Like, I've been able to manage avoiding ballroom dance for 38 years. Now I've done it for all of 5 weeks and get slated on national telly that I'm crap at dancing. Will I continue? Yeah, probably. But if there was five-a-side football happening at the same time as there was salsa, I'm probably going to do five-a-side football. Do you know what I mean?
Did they enjoy seeing you on it, though, the kids, or were they not bothered? They were too young a little bit.
They loved it. Genuinely, they loved it. For me, I played rugby 14 years and I had kids after I retired. And I was always a bit like, oh, I wish I had kids so they could have watched me play. And during the pandemic, they were like playing old rugby matches, which I played and all the rest of it on telly. And I was like, oh, Phoenix, watch this. This is Daddy. Not bothered. Just not bothered. I was more bothered than she was. But then Strictly, because like my daughter Phoenix like loves dance and gymnastics and all that stuff. And she loved seeing Daddy on telly and spoke about it at school, and they played videos of like me dancing at school. So it was like quite cool. And I think, I don't know, perhaps the stereotypical like version of a dad is like, he's just a practical guy. He like carries 10 loads of shopping on one trip and all that kind of stuff. Do you know what I mean? And I've got such a, I am just a human climbing frame for them. Like, I just have fun.
Yeah.
With them. It's wicked. So it was nice to see Daddy being just having fun and having that kind of cool vibe about it.
Oh,
what are you like as a dad? I imagine you as a fun dad because you're a laugh. Do you know what I mean? I can't imagine you as a kind of stern disciplinarian.
No, I kind of flip between the two. Like, I am like...
That's literally how to keep them in line. Make them just be disciplined some days. Yeah. Other days, let them do any old shit. That's what you do.
That's great. That's great for the kids, not knowing where to go, what to do. Really keeps them on their toes.
I guess if Phoenix or Ruby had to answer the question, I think they'd say Daddy was silly and Daddy was fun. Like, I am that human climbing frame. I am like that portable... soft play. That's what I am. I just mess around, want to have all the fun and everything else. But then there's a part of me which I guess the household I was brought up in, like mum and dad both Nigerian, and stereotypically African households are pretty strict, and I think I've definitely got that streak in me where I do want them to I guess just have all the kind of core fundamental parts of a person you'd want anyone to have: be respectful, be disciplined, all those kind of things. So in one sense, I'm definitely that, but more so. So if I had to split it 80%, I'm all the lulls, all the fun, I like to think. And the other bit, I'm probably a bit sterner or a bit more disciplined focused than Lucy, their mum, but like they're great kids, not because of me. Because of Lucy, because she's been like a phenomenal mum to them.
Yeah. And you was born here. Was your parents born here? Did they come over here?
No, they came over about 50 years ago.
Yeah.
So I got two brothers, two sisters. So there's five of us in the house, and all of us born here.
Wow.
So, mate, it's mad.
Did you ever get that threat of if you misbehaved, then you go back with family in Nigeria? Because my wife taught in a school with a lot of Nigerian kids, and that was the big thing of like, if you play up, if you're naughty, you go back to like your nan and granddad or your aunties back in Nigeria. That was the ultimate parent
threat.
That
was what your wife implemented, Rob. The parents had no say in it. Your wife, Mrs. Beckett, is telling me I've got to go home to Nigeria.
Yeah, exactly.
I got sent out there for 2 months, met some lovely people, and came back a new boy.
Just came back. That was just your gap year. Do you know what I mean? But it was quite a disciplined household. We didn't mess around, but then I guess mum and dad split up when I was like age 13. Dad went back to Nigeria. And the only way my mum could have actually kept together a household was through discipline. If she allowed us to do whatever we wanted, mate, it'd have been absolute carnage and chaos for her. So she had to be strict. And like we wouldn't step out of line. And then I end up going to like boarding school, which makes me sound like I'm one of these poshos. I'm not. Like I went to boarding school, private school, but I'm not a private school boy. So I guess discipline and conformity and all those kind of things has probably played quite a significant role in my life. And I do see some of it like, I guess, come out in my parenting skills, but not my day-to-day interaction with my kids.
No.
Would you ever consider your kids going to boarding school?
Oh, 1,000,000%. See, I've like lived on both sides of the tracks. Like, I went to state school, mate. I've come from like council house, mate. We moved about houses so much as kids. That's just what I did. And then I got an opportunity to go to private school, not because we could afford it, but there was a scholarship that was
awarded. For dancing.
For dancing, exactly.
Yeah.
So I just did a few steps, a couple of robots. And I was in.
That's when you first picked up a rugby ball, wasn't it? In between salsa and foxtrot. You was like, what's this thing? Give this a launch about. And then before you knew it, you was better at that.
So I did a try celebration and it was the samba. And they were like, wow.
Oh, my God.
We should get you to arts and drama, musical theatre. Like, I could see you West End. You know, those hips didn't lie.
Was it a proper posh boarding school and then proper, like, because there's private schools and there's the proper, like, the ones where they dress like monks and all that?
Why do they dress like monks?
Bro, I wore a Bridgedale and a barber jacket age 13 to go to school.
Wow.
That was uniform. Like, that wasn't choice.
Wow.
I take the mick out of adults for wearing that, and it's fine, like, be whoever you want to be.
But
age 13, that was me. I was dressed like a cadet to go to school.
Oh, my God. So what did all your brothers and sisters think of you? Because they obviously, I assume, they weren't going there because they didn't get the scholarship, or they doing their own thing, but they must have thought
they
you
did
ridiculous.
Get the scholarship eventually, but I was there first. And so you can imagine me like coming home, getting washing done of a weekend. And then like, why have you got so much army gear? And it's like, this is school uniform.
Me, like, you're waxing your barber jacket on a Sunday afternoon.
Exactly. My brother's got puffer jacket, Air Force Ones, getting on a bus to go to school. I was like,
wow.
So like, the school didn't play football because they didn't play chav ball, quote unquote.
Oh, really? They called it chav ball?
Yeah. So I was this is the world's biggest stitch up. Like, I wanted to play football and I've gone to a school. There was only one other black kid at school. I was like, I'm a city boy, I've moved to the country, and I've got to dress up like I'm going to Royal Ascot just to go to do like maths. Like, what's going on? So I was like, this is a stitch up. But really, it was the point in my life which changed my life. It was mad.
Really?
Like, absolutely mad, because I got to play rugby. And I didn't want to play rugby, but as a kid, you just do things that other kids do because you want to fit in and just have fun. So I did.
So what was your scholarship for then? Was it for rugby or was it just...
No, it was they had this thing called... So the school's called Lord Wandsworth College, and they had this foundation scholarship which was awarded to single parents. And I'll tell you they were way ahead of the time because, only 7% of the population go to private school. So it really does speak to people with, you know, wealth, and that's it. And that's fine. You know, people have worked hard to earn money to be able to support their kids. Unbelievable. Do that, give them the opportunity. But I also do wonder, there'll be a lot of talented kids out there that don't have the wealth, that are denied the opportunity. Yeah, totally. And like, the world isn't fair. That's fine. But I always tell the story. So when I played in the World 7 Series, I was the fastest on the circuit. When I played in the Premiership, I was the quickest in the Premiership. But at my state school, I wasn't the quickest lad in my year.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah. But on the like international circuit, I was one of the quickest.
That's bad, isn't it?
And I'm just like that. So what happened to all those kids who had wicked like talent and natural ability who just didn't get given a chance? Like, that's a shame. It's such a shame. But I guess this scholarship spoke to people like me and my mum who couldn't afford it, but just had unfortunate circumstance of being a single parent.
Yeah.
And they created this avenue to be able to do it. And I guess I took that responsibility, not just to my mum who were able to find the opportunity, but to the school who put their trust in me, to someone like 95% of the school were fee-paying people who could afford to be able to. Yeah. I wanted to work hard, and I'm now proud. I'm still in touch with teachers, and I go back, and a generation of pupils have come through it. But I'm glad that they took a punt on me, and things have worked okay. And I can
be amazing.
An example to kids who might be in my situation and say, like, yeah, someone's trusted you, believed in you, crack on.
That's amazing. And does that inform, like, what you'd want your kids to do? Because obviously they've got a different kind of background financially, and, like, you're in a different situation to your mum.
Totally. I guess you're right. I remember going to private school at age 13 and speaking to kids, and they'd been in private school since the age of 4. And I'm just like, what? That's so much. Lo and behold, Phoenix has been in private school since the age of 3. And I'm now that person. I like question, what are you doing? But during lockdown, like, it was nuts because everyone spent so much more time at home. I properly got exposed to what it was to be like a full-time parent. I was just like, what, you do this every day? This is nuts. Like what? I mean, I know I work and like, I'm winged about working hard, but this is mental. Like, what? Honestly, it's crazy, but the statistics have really changed since lockdown, and I guess co-parenting being far more equal, people working from all the rest of it.
Yeah.
They've seen like a high percentage of like dads taking their kids to school and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
And I think it's got a greater sense of equilibrium. But I do remember, like, it was one Thursday night, and it was the only day of the week we knew, because it was the only day you did something different from every other day. You clapped for the carers. So we stood on our doorstep and you clap for the carers, and like, Phoenix loved it. She's buzzing. Then I took her up to have a bath. And at that point, she loved the fact that we were like clapping for these people doing amazing things. And she said she wanted to be a doctor or nurse. I was like, oh, love you, Phoenix. I'm so proud. And then this one night, I took her up for a bath, And I was like, Phoenix, you still want to be a doctor or nurse? She was like, no. And I said, what do you want to be? She went, I want to be the fastest girl in the world. And I was like, oh, mate, I had a moment. I'm not very emotional, but like, I was like, what did you say? And she was like, yeah, I want to be the fastest girl in the world. And it really kind of dawned on me that we can be so inspired by our kids. And the reason I say that is no one's world, I don't mean physically, is bigger than a kid's world, because no one's told them that they can't do anything. They believe they've not had stumbling blocks, not had to develop a sense of resilience and all these things, or had like had the world negatively impact them. So in Phoenix's mind, she's like, yeah, why not? I'll just be the quickest girl on the planet. And I was just like, if I can like get her to believe that the world is a place of opportunity and she can be anything she wants to be, whilst getting her to nurture work ethic, discipline, all the rest of it, and combine those two things, then she can. So for me, I didn't have all the opportunities right throughout like my youth. I got them from age 13, but I'm hoping that Phoenix been exposed to that and live in a world where she can be anything that she wants to be, that she really can be, whatever that might be. Like, she's crazy athletic. Like, mate, it's remarkable the things she can do, like athletics wise, like whether it's netball, football, rugby, gymnastics, dance, she's just obscenely good. I don't want to put a pressure on her to try and follow in my footsteps. I just want her to like create her own path and just do whatever, and just know that mum and dad to fully support her.
No, but you can see that early doors with kids, can't you? If they're physically like that, they just, and you don't want to put pressure on them. But there are some kids that physically can just do everything before all the other kids, and it's just, you know, some have got that talent and some haven't. You know,
I went to sports day and they did like a 60 metre race, and Phoenix is always really embarrassed when it comes to competing. Like, she gets nervous, but she doesn't quite understand the emotion of nerves. So she thinks she's scared when I'm trying to tell her, no, it's nervous and it's okay to be nervous. So ready, steady, go, bang. She like legged it out, but stayed in line with everyone, okay? She thought she got to the finish line, but she was 30 metres short and just stopped. And I was like, Phoenix, the race not finished. Honestly, I was having an absolute wetting, okay? And I was like, Phoenix, go on. And then she sprinted, caught up and overtook all of her classmates. And like,
my God. Like,
I mean, she doesn't realise it, but she mocked all of her classmates in front of her parents.
She hustled them, basically.
Yeah, she hustled them. Like,
yeah, but do you think, though, if she was in a state school, it might be a competitive race, like when you were there? Well, mate, is it because she's gone private?
Yeah, they didn't care. They all knew they had good jobs at PricewaterhouseCooper coming up when they were 18, so it was fine.
Yeah, half already doing intern jobs at HSBC and JP Morgan. Do you know what I mean? That's just what they'll do.
How old's your youngest?
1.5.
1.5.
Yeah, she's like me. She's mischievous. Like, she's...
Is she?
You've got Phoenix, who's balletic and so graceful and like your archetypal princess. Like, she is... Oh my gosh, she's a dream, absolute dream. Ruby's a dream, but she's mischievous in such a funny way. And like, you can definitely see that Phoenix is definitely like Lucy, and Ruby's probably a little bit like me. Like, she, like, Phoenix never like drew on a wall or anything like that.
Yeah.
She's just, Ruby, she'll run across, like, draw on a wall, and then with the crayons in her hand, walk over to like me or Lucy and just go, oh, no, 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 no. Like, she shows every sense of remorse. And you're like, oh, it's okay, Ruby. 3 seconds later, she's doing it again. And then she's coming back saying she's sorry. And I'm just like, oh, babe, like, come on. Like, stop. But she's it's amazing. Like, I know you guys got kids, and it's the second one developed so much quicker. So, like, Phoenix, like, walking age, like, 14 months, which is, like, on par. Ruby was 9 months because she just had someone to chase, to follow, to do everything.
Interesting.
And she tries to do everything that Phoenix does, even though she might not be physically able. She just throws herself into everything. She's way, like, Phoenix was like by our side always, especially in social settings. When we drop Phoenix off at school, like, Ruby, she thinks those classmates are her mates. And so she just
we have that.
It's wicked though, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's great. But like, when she gets my eldest gets invited for a play date, the youngest is like, "Why can't I go?" You're like, "Well, you're not really her mate, like a schoolmate." She goes, "I am her mate." I'm like, "Oh God!" I'm going, "Well, I'll take you somewhere else to do that." "No, I want to go to her house." You're like, "Oh, for fuck's sake!" You can't say to someone, "Yeah, she's coming in as well." That's not how invites work, is it?
I know. So we take Phoenix to gymnastics, and so it's like age 4 to 5, whatever. Ruby wants to go in. Like, they're working on the high bar, and Ruby's just like, "Well, I can do that." Well, you can't. Like, you actually can't, but but she just wants to get involved. She'll pretend, she'll try and do a forward roll, but she just ends up with a bum in the air, head on the floor, and she can't roll, and you're just like, "Oh, this neck, I don't know if you can take this straight."
Your daughter's 4, and she's doing the high bar.
Mate, honestly,
I wouldn't fancy myself doing that, and I'm 38.
But get you a stepladder to get up there, Josh.
it's insane. Like, it's insane, and everyone thinks their kids are great, but
yeah,
I don't know how you feel about it.
You know yours is. Is that what you're saying? Well, everyone thinks their kid's great, but I know. I've seen the sprint.
You lot are bullshitters.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, as a parent, there's nothing prouder of, like, overhearing someone compliment your kid.
Yeah.
In any setting, whether it's at school, like we had a parents' evening, and like we thought everyone did bullshit because like her teacher was like, "She's awesome, she's this, she's that," and we're just like, "Oh yeah, whatever." Like he says that to everyone's kid, and then one of the other kids' mums ring up Lucy having a wetty down the phone. "They said my kid's behind," and you're like, "Oh gosh!" Like you're sad for them, but you're like, "That means my kid's awesome. That means my kid's awesome." I'm sorry, sorry. Like I'm not comparing. What did the teacher say about your kid? It's like, "Oh, I don't want to talk about it." It's like, "Go on." He says, "Well, yours might be behind, but they actually said ours is ahead. It's a bit embarrassing, but they actually said she probably should be taking her A-levels like next week, but whatever."
Well, yeah, that is because even the kids come back a little bit like, "So-and-so's on this level of reading. I'm only on this level of reading." And you have to be like quite chill about it. But some parents really do care. It does get quite competitive. Are you like on a WhatsApp group or do you see the dads and the mums like outside of the school or anything?
Yeah, like, mate, drop-off is, mate, it's just peacocking, isn't it? It's literally just peacocking. Like, I just love just seeing the dynamic of like seeing the parents. Just
what kind of peacocking you get in there?
See, it's kind of like, well, like the, by the way, the uniform at school, like, I don't know how much did you reckon you spent on a year's worth of uniform when you went to school?
Like, you only had to buy a tie and a jumper from the school. Everything else you could just buy from like Debenhams, couldn't you?
Yeah,
when Debenhams. I was at school.
Mate, we
charity shopped it, everything. I reckon for a year, we didn't spend £100. Didn't. Phoenix, no. £720.
Whoa!
No. Why?
What's
really?
She wearing?
Mate, I don't know. Must be Chanel. Like, it's mental.
No wonder you wanted to get to Blackpool. I'm gonna rewatch that series. That passion in your eyes isn't the sandbar. It's school uniforms.
Mate, I reckon I'll pay off a school uniform by 2026.
So like, what is it then? What is the school uniform?
Mate, like just regular gear. I actually have a proper beer in my bonnet about school uniform. Like she rocks up like she's something out of the flipping Tudors. Like she's
is it one of them ones? Them sort of like. Dress up with your private schools.
Yeah, mate. She wears a straw hat in the summer. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
Absolutely pointless.
Yeah, like, I love tradition and all the rest of it, and you can't knock it. But I think universally across this country, like kids should be kids. And I don't see her wearing half the stuff which actually allows kids to be kids.
Yeah.
So when it comes to playtime, can they fully play around in like some pinafore or a dress? She wears a blazer. She wears a blazer to school. I'm just like...
Mate, at nursery, you see some... I mean, I'm not going to name and shame, but there's some kids at my daughter's nursery. And their clothes are more expensive than my clothes.
Yes.
And you're like, you're going to fucking... You're doing forest school and then you're painting. What are you doing?
Yeah, I don't get. I understand if a school's got a uniform and stuff, and but I don't agree. I think understand private schools are good if you want to send your kid and they get a more broader education, or there's more basically more people there and less kids in the classroom, so they get more time to develop and stuff. But there's no need for those outfits at all, is there?
I personally think it's got nothing to do with the kids. Like, I know when I've got Phoenix outside of school time, she's not wearing a blazer to go to soft play or to go to gymnastics. She's not, because it's not appropriate. But I honestly think school uniforms in private schools, they do it, and it's advertising and it's status. So when they're like walking to school, or I don't know, whatever they're doing, they have a badge on their chest and they're like, and parents are like, look how smart that girl is. Like, that must be a really...
Well, it's like an advert, isn't it?
That's all it is. But forget the adverts. Put the kids at the centre of it. Because if kids had to, I mean, you don't want kids making too many decisions, but in terms of comfort and adaptability, considering they're in and out of class, going from gymnastics to play to lunchtime to everything, they would not say, I'd wear a dress, some tights, a straw hat and a blazer to school. They just never, you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it.
No kid, when you're trying to get them out of the house, is going, where the hell's, I'm not going without my straw hat. Unless I can find a straw hat. I'm not going.
Well, what I would say, Hugo, though, is there's one quick fix to this. Send them to a state school. But
I know. I can't whinge because they're
I know, you can't. There's been people listening, imagining the world's tiniest violin that they're which you can actually buy in the school shop for 80 quid, the world's tiniest violin. It's actually what they need in the spring term.
I know, I'm whinging, and I do apologise for whinging, because they'll be like,
don't forget
your roots. Don't forget your roots. Where you flipping?
One last question on it. How much? I want a specific, how much are you knocking out for straw hat? Because if it's 700 quid for the whole thing, what's the straw hat specifically?
I genuinely don't know. I don't know. But I reckon the straw hat would have been 60, 70 quid.
Jeez, no way.
I promise you. And it's not like you
you're fucking winding me up.
Like, I swear, but you can't go onto eBay and buy it. Like, you have to go to the school shop. So
get a second-hand one, second-head one.
There's got to be some kids leaving the school that have got a straw hat they never want to use again, hasn't there?
Probably, but the parents probably want to keep it as some kind of, I don't know, memory of them. But, like, don't, like, I'm whinging, but it was my option to send her to this school. So
yeah, I know, yeah, you're fully taking the flag. Yeah,
do you know what I mean? But also, like, I support Arsenal. I don't like all their kids, but I have to still support them. Do you know what I mean?
You still don't have to buy... They don't fall, as an Arsenal fan, you don't buy a season ticket and then they force you to buy the full training kit to wear to a match.
I would love it if Arsenal had a straw hat next season.
It's £2,000 for the season ticket and £1,000 for all the clothes.
That's it. I turn up to North London Derby and they have to check that you've bought all the merch before you're allowed into the match.
But have you got the socks? The away socks? No, you haven't? Okay, well, back home.
No, but think about last what you've done. They're last season socks. Sorry, mate, you can't come in. You can't come in, sorry. I got Phoenix a football kit and then like went out onto the green or something. I think it was during lockdown. I was like, right, you getting your football kit, I'm getting my football kit. And she don't like football kit, but I got a photo and he went out on Instagram and I'm like dad of the year. So I guess
exactly. The kid's crying, brilliant.
Yeah, let's just have one picture. Just kick the ball, look at me. Just going to put in portrait mode. Probably put a little filter on it. And
yeah, stop crying. Stop crying and have the photo, please. Fucking hell.
How much do you care if she supports Arsenal?
No, I don't think I can be too sensitive over this because my dad supported Tottenham.
Okay. Oh, right.
Yeah, so that was...
So you let him down?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he let me down by supporting Tottenham is how I see it. But he also was on the planet first, so I guess he gets first dibs at that. So I'll let him off. But he loved, like, he loved Tottenham, and I loved Ian Wright. Or I love Ian Wright. I think he's wicked. And so I was like, this is tough. And it was, I guess, it was a choice between Les Ferdinand and Ian Wright. And Ian Wright was a bit more of a boy about town. I was like, oh, I like this. But my dad, remember Les Ferdinand used to have a little tuft at the top of his head? It was like... So my dad used to go and get me to get my hair cut like Les Ferdinand in order to accept the fact that I supported Arsenal. So I had a Tottenham haircut. No, I was so confused. I was like head in balls thinking I was Les, but 2 foot in people thinking I was Ian Wright. It was great.
I can't imagine, if they get into sport properly, and it feels like your eldest is going to, it's inevitable. Obviously, you've got good genes and stuff like that. But I think you might be overly competitive dad on the side. I don't know if you can contain it.
No. So sports day, I don't know whether this was coincidence or COVID, but they actually cancelled the dad's race.
Did that? Okay.
No, I turned up with starting blocks, full Lycra, ready to go.
So is there anyone that you think could beat you in that school then?
What's your speed over 100 metres?
10.6? Yeah. 10.6. You can't look. There's no way. How fast are those kids at your fucking school then?
I know.
Can you go to school with Usain Bolt?
10.6.
Jesus Christ.
I know. So I can move, or I used to be able to move until the third lockdown, and then I just ate my body weight in in chocolate. I'd have backed myself in a dad's race. I say this messing around, but realistically, there's pressure on me to win. I can't be turning
up of course.
To sports day as an ex-athlete and getting mugged off by David in accounts. I can't.
Oh, my. Imagine losing to someone in finance. Oh, my God.
Nigel in HR cannot be doing a number on me. You know what I mean?
So what's your approach? Are you going to go as fast as you possibly can, like you're in a real race against other rugby players? Or are you going to go...
Rob's knowledge of other sports kicking in there.
Yeah, but get them going.
Other rugby players, he panicked. He tried to name one. He couldn't think of one.
You know, Will Carlin, Johnny Wilkinson.
Yes.
All the guys.
All the boys.
All the lads. That big lanky one with the funny ears. He's a good one. Loved him.
Martin
little
Johnson.
Fat short one. Yeah, all of them. All great guys. If Ben in accounts or whatever the people are that you're up against, the other dads, are you going at 75%, but then know you've got an extra level? Because it may look muggy if you absolutely destroy them.
I can't be going out the blocks I don't know, Carl Lewis, can I? I mean, I'm not going to be there 3-point stance. I can't. It's got to be standing start. And
fair enough.
I think I've just got to come out gently, just banter, but whilst assessing.
And then canter.
Exactly. If it's 100 metres and at 50, yep. I feel someone's trying to mug me off. I'm just going to have to go into another gear, aren't I?
Yes.
I also want to be... I'm just a chilled out dad here just to support my daughter.
Obviously not, but that's fine if that's what you think it is.
But I'm also not 95 metres out, accelerating and ducking from the line for photo finish because I'm not going to get given the benefit of the doubt. So I want to do a job on them, but not destroy them, if that's an option.
To feel like they've got a chance next year.
Yeah, and this sounds well arrogant, but I would back myself in a race. I just would.
Over anyone?
It's funny, actually, because a couple of years ago, I did a podcast, funny enough, not as good as this one, obviously.
What podcast?
It's a rugby one called Rugby in a Weekly.
Give it a shout out.
Yeah, it's called Rugby in a Weekly. You can download it on BBC Sounds. It's out every Monday. There you are.
Yeah, if you like rugby, if you don't, give it a wide berth.
If you like all the lads, like Will Carlin and the Lanky
Billy Fingers and Gary the Lank.
But so I went to the Premiership Rugby launch and there was one of the lads there. He just came off playing a World Cup and he was I get on really well with him. And I was like, man, I reckon I still do you in a race. And he was like, what? And I was like, no, genuine. And I was just there in skinny jeans and trainers. He was there in full kit. And I was like, mate, I'll do you. I will do you. Banter it. And he was like, go on then. And it's like, what? Excuse me? And I was like, go on, let's have a race now. And I had a race with him. And I just lost. He had to duck at the line. So I was like, I was like, hang on, I reckon I've still got it. But I don't. Yeah. Like, I don't. Like my, honestly, mate, the lactic acid, my hamstrings, my back were all in pieces by the end of it. He's like, we had to finish off the podcast and I was sweating, honestly, perspiring so heavy. Heart rate must have been 200. I could barely string a sentence. So the first half of the podcast, I'm well chatty. The next half, I'm just nodding and just with the occasional, just because I couldn't actually talk.
But do you think he might have been treating you like Ben in accounts? Do you know what I mean? He might have banter, canter, cantered you.
Exactly. I think he was doing what I would do at a dad's race on sports day. So he's he's allowed me to go away thinking I came close to him, but really he's going back to his club and saying, I absolutely rinsed you guys on the second game.
Yeah. Oh, quick question. How has retiring from rugby affected you and your view of yourself? Do you feel that sometimes you've got a bit to prove and you're a bit worried about getting older?
Yeah, slightly unfulfilled. You know, I'm still, I think I'm in a period of discovery, actually. I'm trying to work out who I am.
Yeah.
I think that's the conclusion I've come to. But, mate, if it's grass, we'll probably wear Maldives. If it's tartan, probably tugs.
That's the same. If it's a bit wet in the morning, you've got a real slip hazard there. You can't be going just with like a pair of like Converse or something slappy.
No, of course.
You should run the race in the straw hat just to show them who's boss.
Yeah, but it's too expensive for it to fall off my head and get busted.
Get trampled on.
I just couldn't allow it to happen.
How was it starting school? Because she started proper school this year. Was she nervous or was she quite excited? Was you all right with it?
Tough, mate. Like for two, really? I'd say for the first 2 or 3 weeks, she found it hard. One, because she was just used to being at home during the pandemic and just got so used to like mum and dad just being around. And then all of a sudden, she's not there. Like she's going to school. Yeah. And I reckon she had a sense of first day at school, she'd come home and she was like, oh, I've done school now. Like I've completed it. And like, like you've actually got to go like every day.
For 14 years.
Yeah, exactly. But she loves it. She loves it. And it's really cool. And this is where I think it's tough as a parent, because you drop them off at school and they cry because they want to be at home. But it's really nice that they want to be at home, but it's tough to see them crying going to school. And you're like, oh, maybe I should just homeschool them. And no, you're doing the right thing. But then they get used to school. There's no tears. And they don't even look back to say goodbye. They just leg it into school. And you're like, well, I'm happy she's settled, but she doesn't give a crap that I'm here. Like, I want her to want me, but you also don't want them to be crying. So it's this, like, contradiction of emotions. But she loves it. Like, her back, she has proper good best mates at school. And, she probably loves it, loves being there as much as she loves being at home, which is exactly what you want for your kids.
That's good. Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure, Ugo.
Oh, yeah, thanks, mate.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It's very rare that we say, could you come back and bring documentary evidence of something? It's very rare an interview ends with a request that you give us a video of a school sports day.
Yeah, I would put on a GoPro, but I just worry about the aerodynamics. Do you remember? I can't have it slow me down.
Could you have one of those secret cameras in your straw hat, like, so when you're running along, like you're doing an investigation?
Oh, no, but definitely, if you can film it, get someone to film it on an iPhone, then that we'd love to see that and post it out. We just want to see how it went with, you know, we've got your what you're doing, your little bit of banter, and then you really hit the afterburners. But we want to see you destroy those stiff necks in their little suits in between meetings.
Preferably a morning diary where you go through your shoes, which you're going to wear, what food you've been taking on board so that you're in peak condition. A real, like, eye of what it takes to be a top-level athlete.
Do you know what? This has inspired me. I'm going to get fucking ripped for next summer, and I'm going to do
it.
You've
been saying you're going to get ripped for the last 2 years. This hasn't inspired you.
No, but I'm working on strength at the moment, but I think I'm going to work on speed so I can win the race.
Yeah, I mean, we're effectively in the off-season, so, you know, we're just going to warm weather training now. But I'm glad I've marked it, because I've got a good 5-6 months just to get into, like, peak condition to batter some accountants and HR gurus.
Rob's going to spend 2 months at high altitude, aren't you? That's what you're going to do.
I'm going to go Big Bear. Running.
I'm going to Kenya next week now, honestly.
Well, can you? I think it's quite interesting actually, because there'll be a lot of dads and mums, and mums racing the dads race, listening that would like to win. And you may not be a natural sprinter, but you want to get maybe finish eighth last year, and you want to try and get top three. For people that aren't ex-athletes like yourself, Ugo, what is a good way to get better at sprinting? Like, what would you suggest?
The number one thing is coordinating your arms and your legs. The amount of people who want to get fast at running, but your arms move, or your arms move as fast as your legs, and vice versa. So if they're not coordinated, you just won't be able to. You'll be running with passion, but with no technique. So the amount of people see, like, running with their heart, but not their legs, I'm just like, no, just chill out. So try and get yourself coordinated. And it's like anything, in any pressure situations, if you went to sprint up the street just now on your own, you'd be able to do it. But with six people to left and right of you, you panic and all coordination goes. So I would just say work and coordination first. Once you've nailed that, then you give yourself a better chance of winning.
We want to create a group of winners.
Oh, yes.
That's what we want, isn't it? A group of winners from this podcast.
Yeah, and it'd be great if all Parent in Hell listeners won every mum and dad's sprint
race.
Yeah,
we'd be like Jamaica. They're like, there's this crop of sprinters. These grown parents, they're all better than everyone else.
Well, Ugo, thank you so much. Really appreciate it, mate.
Nice one. Take it easy, lads.
Thanks, mate. I loved that.
Really,
I'm going to say it. I'd be fucking shit at the dad's race, but I'm going to go next year.
It'll be so funny to watch, though.
Well, you need to check what the race is, because what you don't want to do is practice for sprint and then it's a tug of war or something like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. I know. I think tug of war's a bit medieval. I think it's a sprint. I'm just sort of thinking in my head about the other guys. If I could get a top five finish, I think I'd be happy.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the dads at nursery, whether I could beat them. There's one guy who would definitely beat me.
You do a bit of running, don't you?
Yeah, but I'm very heavy-footed, Rob. I'm very heavy-footed. Yeah, you've heard about this.
We've heard about this.
Yeah, but he just ran the Hackney Half Marathon just because he does stuff like that. I was like, he's got the beating of me.
Anyway, that was Ugo. I love Ugo. Watch him on Question of Sport. Listen to his podcast. Lovely bloke. And now I'm going to go back and watch Strictly and see his face when he gets told he doesn't get the bonus in Blackpool.
I didn't want to say it, Rob. He missed Blackpool by a fucking mile. But anyway.
Oh, dear.
That interview implied he was a week off it. Come on, mate.
Oh, dear. Right, well, we'll be back next Tuesday with another episode. We'll see you then, people.
Cheers, guys. Bye.
Bye.